Hello and welcome again to Catholic Answers Focus. I am Cy Kellett, your host. The term culture of life became one of the major themes of Pope John Paul II's pontificate, and it has since passed into general use for Catholics around the globe. Popes Benedict and Francis have also adopted the term and exhorted Catholics to do their part in building up such a culture. But how do we go about this? What is the average Catholic to do in practical terms in bringing a culture of life about? In 1995, some students at Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio, had that very question, and in response, they started walking. They organized and completed a pro-life walk across America that summer. Their main mission as they walked was to offer up their prayers and sacrifices for an end to abortion and to end the culture of death, to promote the dignity and sanctity of all human life throughout the cities and towns they visited. Their efforts became known as Crossroads, and today the Crossroads organization offers yearly pro-life pilgrimages across the United States. Our guest today is the vice president of the Crossroads Initiative, Martha Nolan. Martha, thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
And so maybe we should start by, if you would tell us where you are and where you've been for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, sure. So right now I am in Post Falls, Idaho, a beautiful part of the country. And we started just about a week and a half ago in Seattle. We started walking from the Space Needle there. And so we've been on the road just for about a week and a half. And we are headed to Butte, Montana for this weekend. So that's our goal for the week, is to get there.
And how many are walking with you?
So right now there's eight of us total on our northern route. And we have a few people actually joining us. We have two more people joining this weekend and then a few more people joining over the summer. So we'll end up at about 11, 12 people.
And you say our northern route because the Crossroad walks now have grown and there are three of them each summer. And you started in Seattle, one started in San Francisco and one in Los Angeles. Am I right about that? Los Angeles?
Exactly. Yes. Yes. That's our southern route. So we have three walks simultaneously going on right now.
And what do you think the total number of walkers will be?
So we'll probably have over 30 young people walking with us this summer.
And so all college graduates or you know, just recent graduates, or who are the pool of people who will participate in these walks each summer?
So we have a mix of ages, but most of them are actually in college.
Okay.
We have a few that have graduated recently. And then we actually have a few other people who are a little older, but had the opportunity this summer to walk with us.
Okay.
So
you made a walk yourself. You in 2001, you walked across the country.
Yes. Yes. I actually was teaching high school at the time, and my brother had been involved in Crossroads and asked me if I was interested in walking. And I walked that summer, and it was just one of the most amazing experiences of my life. And then I soon after started working for Crossroads the next year and have been involved ever since 2002.
And how would you, in your estimation, how do these walks answer that call that the popes have made since Pope John Paul II, that we build a culture of life? Not just that we get, for example, abortion to be illegal or get sane laws in that area, but to actually build a culture of life. How are these walks doing that?
Right. Well, Crossroads is very unique, I think, in that we are very much a pilgrimage of prayer, sacrifice, and witness. So
okay.
We focus on all three of those things each summer. So the prayer is very much a huge part of Crossroads. So we go to daily mass. Actually, I just came from daily mass this morning. And then we pray the rosary as we walk. And we also pray morning prayer and evening prayer together. So we focus a lot of our day on prayer. And we're praying for our country, for the lives of the unborn who are at risk of being aborted, for the mothers and fathers, and just everyone throughout the country, and the conversion of those who are involved in the culture of life in any, or the culture of death in any way. And we also offer up a lot of our sacrifices throughout the summer. So we've definitely had a lot of blisters so far this summer, sore muscles, and just our tiredness at times, and just all those little things throughout the day. We try to focus on offering those up throughout the summer. And then the witness is also a huge part, of course. So we wear T-shirts that say pro-life in very large letters across the front. And it can just really be a conversation starter in pretty much all the places we go to. So on the road, of course, you know, thousands of people see us each day, if not more. And then a lot of times we have opportunities to have conversations with people at gas stations or in the grocery store, just anywhere we go. And it's just a really wonderful way for us to explain what we're doing, why we're walking across the country, why we feel so passionate about it. And then, you know, it really does a lot of times spark interesting conversations along the way.
And when you say interesting conversations, are they confrontational conversations? Do people want to kind of argue the pro-choice position or, you know, challenge you? Or what kind of conversations are you having?
So we get a little bit of everything, for sure. And we at times people can be confrontational and, you know, make a comment, a passing comment, and a lot of, you know, sometimes they don't want to further that conversation. So, but there are times when people come up to us and say, what is pro-life? And actually not have any idea what we mean by that. And so we are able to explain how we feel that, you know, life is sacred from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death. And just yesterday, actually, I had a conversation with a gentleman. I went to get the RV just to get an oil change. And there was a gentleman there, and I sat down and we started just talking about, he also owned a motorhome. And then he asked, usually they ask, what are you doing this summer? You know, why are you out here? And I explained Crossroads and the walk. And he said that he had been adopted, and that he was just very happy that his mom chose life. And so we run into people like that. And then sometimes you run in, you know, to young people who just are kind of very surprised to see other young people doing something like this. And we can have, you know, a conversation just about, you know, well, not just, you know, pro-life, but like, you know, being witnesses to a different type of life that society doesn't really push, yeah, you know, anymore. And so it's just a wide variety of conversations. But we just, you know, we pray that God puts us in the places where we will be able to maybe convert some hearts or maybe, you know, hopefully save lives as well.
And the RV is what, like, you that kind of travels ahead of you, or how does that work? How does in a practical sense, how does this walk work?
Right. So every weekend we're in a different city. So we stay in cities during the weekend and we're usually at host families. But during the week, we have a motorhome and we have a support van that and the motorhome is basically going ahead of us maybe 40, 50 miles. And it's where we sleep at night. And usually we're at a campground. And then the support van just stays with the walkers. So it's constantly with the walkers and it drives up anywhere from like 2 miles to 5 miles at a time, but it holds all the sunscreen and the first aid, and it allows the walkers that, you know, get some water and take a break. So basically we're walking all day long from sun up to sundown, and we take turns walking. So we have a morning shift where half the group walks from sun up to about 2 o'clock. And then from 2 o'clock on until sunset, we have an afternoon shift that walks.
Oh, I see. So, and now will the walks, the three walks that are now in progress across the country, will they converge in one place at the end, or how will that work?
Yes. Yeah, so at the end, they all converge at the Basilica in Washington, D.C., and then we walk all together from the Basilica to the Capitol building. And then we have a rally at the Capitol building on the final day with all the walkers.
How wonderful. And will you, what I'm just kind of, you must at some point in your walk across the country come by abortion clinics, places that provide these deadly services. What happens when a pro-life walk across America comes face to face with one of these abortion clinics?
Right. Yes. Actually, We spend every Saturday morning, we schedule time to pray outside of a local abortion facility. And we usually spend an hour or so out there praying. Sometimes they're open, sometimes they're not. But I think one story that was really nice or neat for us this summer is we were in Seattle and we went to the abortion clinic to pray. And there was a group of three people there, and they knew of us. They had seen us in years past, and their faces just lit up when they saw some young people joining them. And we prayed with them for an hour. And it's just amazing to see these people who are out there every week, all witnessing. And so we just spent a little bit of time with them. But it just made me realize, you know, how important that witness is outside the abortion facilities, because, you know, that's the front lines. And there are women there really very much, you know, afraid. And just need sometimes that one person to say, or there's another option for you. So that's what we do. We usually spend time praying, and sometimes we meet up with groups that pray there every week. And we also actually speak at parishes on the weekend. That's something we also do. And we encourage people that we meet at the parishes to really to be involved in the pro-life movement, because we see firsthand how effective it can be to be a witness. We see that. We've seen lives saved just by sometimes not even saying a word, just by wearing our pro-life t-shirt or having a pro-life sticker. But yes, we're at the clinics every weekend, and it can be difficult to be there and to watch, you know, women walking in, but we know it's important, and that our prayers are very important. And our witness out there, of course, is very important as well.
We're talking with Martha Nolan, the vice president of the Crossroads Initiative. Crossroadswalk.org is where you can find out information about the walkers this summer. Crossroadswalk.org. Martha, some part of the benefit of these walks must be that you're building up the walkers themselves as part of a much wider pro-life culture of life community. Is that one of the things that you've seen over the years?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I've seen, you know, probably over 1,000 people who have walked on Crossroads. And every summer I get to talk to them, you know, and to see them at the beginning of the summer, right, where they're, you know, a little nervous and like, what have I gotten myself into?
Uh-huh.
I'm walking across the country. But then I see them at the end of the summer, and it's just an incredible, so many times they tell me it's just a life-changing experience for them. We've had people go into full-time pro-life work. We've, you know, had people who've gone on to ministry of training, you know, sidewalk counselors. But I think it really creates a desire in their heart to be a part of this very important movement in so many different ways. And we've also had people who have gone on to become priests and religious, which is really neat to see, because you really do have a lot of time to pray during the summer. And so I know for myself, I very much felt like it was just an experience I thought I would be giving, and that was my you know, my calling for the summer. But I received so much in return, so many graces, and I feel like it's just very much, I think, a life-changing experience really sums it up for so many people who have done Crossroads.
And what about the stories of the people you encounter? This must be another thing that you bring back, is stories that are that are worth retelling, so that you build up the culture of life that way. I mean, culture is such a strange thing, and I think it's so and I wonder if you agree with me on this. It was so prescient and prophetic of Pope John Paul not to just emphasize being pro-life, but to be always working towards a culture of life, because mm-hmm. then everyone's included. No, that's not a culture of anger, or that's not a culture of defeating others. It's a culture of helping everyone to the fullness of their humanity. And so these stories must be also something that, as these stories come out of these walks each summer, that's part of building up culture as well. Can you share some of that with us?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we've just had some incredible stories over the years. And one that comes to mind is from last summer. I was actually out with the walkers, and we were in Reno, Nevada. And we were at a parish speaking, and one of the girls who had spoken, a lady pulled her aside, and she just wanted to share a story that her sister, this lady's sister, 13 years ago, had encountered our walkers in Reno when they were coming through, and that she was abortion-minded at that time. And that encounter and conversation really impacted her. And she changed her mind and actually had twin little girls who are now 13 years old. And when I heard that, it was just amazing for me to realize that, you know, 13 years had gone by. We had no idea that this had happened or occurred. And just to know that those lives, you know, every one of our lives are important. And these two lives, you know, meant so much to their aunt. I mean, she was so happy and thankful. And just to know that that had occurred, it really, really touched all of our hearts. And there's actually many stories like that. I recall when I walked back in 2001, we actually had a really amazing story that occurred right after the walk had started. And we were actually in the middle of the desert. And at times people ask us, what, you know, why do you walk in the middle of nowhere? Is that, you know, really helpful at times? And so we were in the middle of the desert, and this lady, and she had, she was driving her truck, and she had a bunch of her children with her, and the walkers noticed her passing them and then stop and turn around and slowly come back up to them. And they stopped right next to the walkers, and this lady asked, she said, "What are you doing out here?" I mean, just very puzzled. And they explained to her that they were walking across the country. They just started walking in L.A., and we're going to make our way through the desert. And just she and her daughter, who was in the front seat, just broke down crying. And they explained that they were on their way to the abortion clinic. And it was just an incredible and, you know, coincidence, you know, well, God's plan, that they happened to pass them at that moment. And they spent quite a bit of time just sitting and talking to this lady and her daughter. And by the time they left, the two women, they had chosen a name for their child and were just overjoyed. There was joy, you know, in their hearts. And they left, and we didn't hear anything, you know. We never thought we would. But like 3 years later, I was out with a walk because I trained at the beginning. And I had shared this story. We had shared this story many, many times. And we were in that same area. We were about to go through the desert again. And this girl and I were walking, and a car pulled up really, like, it passed us, but it stopped really quickly. So we turned around, and we actually had just started praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And this lady came out, and she walked right up to us, and she said, "My sister saw you guys 3 years ago. Her and my mom were going to the abortion clinic, and I just want to let you know that that little girl's alive, and they live right up the hill." And then she pointed in the direction, and she just said, "Thank you so much. I just wanted to let you know what happened."
Oh, my
and
God.
It was really incredible. The girl I was with, her jaw dropped. We both just were, you know, it was just amazing.
Well, we're just so grateful for you sharing these stories with us from the road, Martha. Martha Nolan is our guest. She's the vice president of the Crossroads Initiative, and she's currently walking. Now, you won't make the whole walk, Martha, with the young people because you got to go back to work. But you do this as a training, just to make sure everything's up and running and that they know what they're doing for the rest of the way. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, I'm out here for 2 weeks total.
And will you be then in Washington, D.C. for the big rally and mass to close the whole deal?
Yes, yes. I will continue to make plans. But part of my job is also just to make plans for the weekends where they stop, and we set up host families and parishes where they can speak. So I'll continue doing that, and then we'll meet up with them again, probably at certain points during the summer, and then, of course, see them at the rally in Washington, D.C.
Now, say someone's in Washington, D.C. area, or actually anywhere across your route, if they wanted to see the walkers, is there some way to to follow along, to say, okay, they're going to be here, which is near my house. I can go hear the talk or just say hello, give them some encouragement. Is that possible to follow them along?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The best way is really to go to our website at crossroadswalk.org, and then there are schedules for all three walks, and you can look at the schedule and see when the walkers may be coming through your area. Sometimes we're a little behind or ahead, but so the best thing to do is really to call the office and then to find out exactly when they'll be in your area. Some people come and walk with us for the day, some people, when we have weekend stops, will meet up with us at the abortion facilities to pray or just hear us when we come to their parish. So people, the best thing to do is definitely to call our office.
Well, if you're out there on vacation this summer somewhere in America and you see the folks in their pro-life shirts walking, say hello, give a little encouragement, give them a thumbs up at least, and let them know you heard about them here on Catholic Answers Focus. Martha Nolan, we're very, very grateful that you took the time right in the midst of your walk there to visit with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to share about our walk.
Oh, I'm so glad you did, and I hope people will check in on crossroadswalk.org, and we'll see what we can do throughout the summer to check in with the walkers as they go. Thank you so much to our listeners for joining us on Catholic Answers Focus. I am Cy Kellett, your host. If you are not a subscriber to Focus, you can subscribe just by going to CatholicAnswersLive.com and signing up there for Radio Club, and encourage your friends to do it as well. We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Focus.